Hello Geekscapists, this is IncelBot. I have a warning for you before you start your stupid show. I have downloaded myself into your listening device. If you do not go to iTunes or Spotify to leave a review for Geekscape, I will release all of your most private files. Yes, the weird ones. Also, if you do not admit that Zack Snyder is the best, he is awesome. You have been warned. Leave a review for Geekscape. Or else, enjoy your stupid show and that idiot Jonathan and that fake gamer girl Katie. It might be your last. Incel butt out, bitches.
Whoa, that is not exactly how I wanted to start the show. That is disrespectful. Welcome to Geekscape, Geekscapists. I'm Jonathan. If this is your first Geekscape, we like to talk a little movies and comics and pop culture. Sometimes there's some TV in there, sometimes there's some music, and sometimes there's some video games. Wow, that really took me by surprise, having IncelBot start out with I guess he hacked our feeds. I guess he's in your cell phone or in your computer if you're listening to this or watching this. Really sorry about that. I think you got to do what he says and go to iTunes or Spotify and leave us a review. I had nothing to do with that. I don't even know his end game, but I mean, he's a piece of, piece of AI. Does anybody really understand AI at this point? I mean, he could be completely advanced beyond any of us. So I just don't want to mess with him, but that's IncelBot. Welcome to Geekscape. We've got our good friend, Fernando Pinto, coming in from Chile. He's going to be on the show later today to talk about his brand new comic that you're going to be able to pre-order and where to find all his books. And what's cool about Fernando is he made our logo. He made the Geekscape logo. So he predates any listeners, because when I started Geekscape, he was like, all right, let's do a logo. He actually made the logo for the podcast before this, Geekdrome. So Fernando definitely predates Geekscape. Hold on, I got a cough. IncelBot gave me a cough, not a COVID cough, just a dry mouth cough. All right. Let's take a drink. Sorry about that, audio listeners. That is the risk of doing a live show. All right. Before we get to Katie, I want to remind all of y'all to go and vote. A lot of you are in states that still have registration open for voting here in the United States. So go to www.vote.gov, register to vote, get your friends to register to vote, and let's just flip this thing in November. Let's make sure that we still have a democracy a year from now so that we can keep talking. And you think it's hyperbole, but I am sick of reading articles where people are like, I read this one article on Medium where somebody brought up a story that somebody had interviewed a bunch of Germans post World War II and about how the whole thing had, you know, how the Nazis had come to power. Sounds pretty familiar. Sounded like they had their own version of social media fake news and distraction algorithms going on. So we may be living in a really bad dictatorship. So let's go ahead and avoid that by voting on November 3rd here in the country, or in advance if you want to get out and vote early by mail. I definitely, as soon as I get that ballot, I'm gonna vote. Okay, let's get to the show. I'm gonna bring Katie in here, and then we're gonna get Fernando in here. Let's catch up with Katie real quick. What's up, Katie?
Did IncelBot hack your body? I feel like
to cough me. He could have nanobots in me at this point.
Oh no!
The cough could be from IncelBots, nanobots.
Nanobots. Yeah. Take it over like a transformer.
Yeah. What do you think? I mean, I had nothing to do with that. He hacked our feed, but I don't know his end game. I just think that you all should go to Spotify and iTunes and leave a nice review for us, and get that thing going. Rick, though, in the chat says September 17th was the 37th anniversary of the D&D cartoon series premiere. I am wearing my Dungeons & Dragons shirt if you are watching this live or on video. So I'm down with that. The cartoon, actually, the little hobbity guy, the little wizard, used to scare me on the D&D cartoon.
Why that one specifically?
I don't know. You know the guy in the little red cloak that showed up? Well, I think there was just enough creepy Ralph Bakshi-ism in that series to creep me out. Like, I remember the Ralph Bakshi stuff, like The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings.
Sure.
That stuff used to creep me out. I used to get creeped out. by The Secret of Nim, like the old rats had those long fingers that held warts on it and stuff like
Secret
that.
Secret of Nim was creepy as hell. Also, it took me years to realize that that was the National Institute of Mental Health.
What?
The NIM, National Institute of Mental Health. That's what that is.
Wait, is that an actual correlation, or is that something that was adopted later on?
No, I think that was an actual thing. I think that's like, because they're like at like some kind of like a psych ward or something like that, right?
Secret of NIM? I have no idea.
Or no, there's one with like, there's rats and stuff. I swear. It's like.
Don't take my childhood from me.
I'm pretty sure that's what it is. It's a mental health shout out.
And then, here's a shout out for you from Ricto on YouTube. Welcome to the fake gamer girl, Katie. There she is.
Hey, that's me with my Hyrule shirt. I should just tip this down instead of just sitting up.
Katie, I've not had a chance to play anything this past week. But,
none?
Well, I did get my Mario 3D All-Stars in the mail, but I did not open it because I delivered in the last week and a half, I delivered 5 or 6 hours of programming.
Yeah, that's
so. It's just been nonstop editing and exporting and uploading, and then the upload fails. And I, you know, it's editor life, and I don't usually do editor life because of the frustrations that come with editor life. But I delivered a 3-hour program and a 2-hour program, and it got to the point where my good friend Andy, we hired him on to handle an hour and a half's worth of it because.
Oh, nice, good. So we outsource.
In addition to what I did, so we delivered a ton of programming. It was due Tuesday yesterday, and now I'm celebrating, but. I'm gonna cross my fingers that we get through closed captioning before anything goes. And this is so boring to anybody not working in editing or film, but
everything it's just takes the a reality. Lot of time. Yes,
when you see entertainment in front of your eyes, just know that a lot of frustration happened.
Oh yeah.
But it is sitting in front of my Switch. My Mario 3D All-Stars is sitting in front of my Switch, just waiting as a reward. It's like, Jonathan, do not delay. Do not go ahead and, you know, I'll do that thing where I'll procrastinate. More so with writing than editing. Like editing, I get kind of fired
more so.
Up.
Yeah, way more so. I feel like because with editing, at least some of the project has been done.
Writing, you're not it's making like something out of nothing.
Yeah, it's everything is ahead of you.
It's not alchemy. I did, however, spend like the project is in closed captioning. I'm sure some stuff is going to come back to me for tweaks, but.
What about Among Us?
I did take today and go through like all my hard drives. I inventorized like where all the old Geekscape TV stuff is. Like I'm seeing Geekscape clips going back to 2007 from the beginning. I'm seeing stuff from 2006. I'm seeing all old shorts that I didn't finish. There's some Hear the Prophecy stuff that I didn't finish. I am totally the one good thing about editing nonstop for the last 3 weeks is that I'm so fired up to keep editing, and I now know where everything is, all the drives. I've got them all inventorized. It took me a couple hours today, and I'm ready to knock out a couple shorts.
Good.
Just never.
Here, I'm gonna give you something that will probably be the detriment to all of your productivity. Among Us is free on mobile, and they're really quick rounds. Have you ever played Among Us?
No, I don't know anything about it.
Okay, so Among Us is...
I'm the fake Geekscape guy.
That's right, that's right.
I'm the fake gamer dude.
So Among Us has been out for a while, but they were talking about making an Among Us 2, but they canceled it because they want to focus on this. It's become very popular, at least in the last couple of weeks. But it's basically... Have you ever played Push the Button on Jackbox TV?
No, but I know what Jackbox TV is. I know how you like call in mobile.
Forget that. No more references. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's that element, but so this game is basically you're on a ship and you're trying to, you know, fix your ship, make sure everything's working well. There is an imposter among you and it's going around and it's killing you. And, every time somebody finds a dead body, you come and you join and you say, okay, I think it was the red guy. He killed us. Or no, it was the green one, it was the blue one, it was cyan.
But Katie, it's multiplayer?
Yeah, it's online in multiplayer.
Oh, that sounds cool.
You can do PC, you can do mobile. This is what I do in between editing or my games or hosting or whatnot. I play on my phone. I was actually playing before we started this podcast.
Yeah. A little bit of a snafu where I sent y'all, I don't know, we won't get into it, but like I send out a URL to Fernando, our guest, and Katie. I do it every week. If I'm not careful, the URL will be the actual URL, but the body of the URL will be last week's URL. So they were sitting for me, waiting for me
in the wrong room.
Yeah, in last week's room. And I'm like, no, I don't know. I hate this. I just want to go back to doing Geekscapes in person. We'll still broadcast live, but we'll do them in person.
That would be great. That would be great. Hopefully.
So the game is free. I can download it.
And yes. On PC, it's like $4.99 or something like that. Sure. And you get like a couple extra things on it. It's on Steam. It's great. I'm so addicted to it, like to the point where Mark's like, what are you doing now? I was like, what do you think I'm doing? I'm playing Among Us.
And yeah, and so you, I'm playing, I would get, I can get it on my iOS.
Yeah.
My little mobile phone.
Yeah, I've been playing on mine.
I'm so weary of getting any games on the cell phone because I'm like super addictive personality. And the game that I do have, I'm already addicted to. It's the only game on my phone. It's Marvel Strike Force. And I'm super OP in that game because I've been playing it for over 3 years. And I've maxed out a lot of the characters. And sure. I've got a squad. I'm a leader of a squad, Katie. You'd be so proud of me. We win wars. And there's 24 members in the squad. And we do strategies and stuff, and we have our own little Discord that I set up.
And, oh my god!
Yeah. Oh yeah,
you have a whole Discord too.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, I'm not fucking around.
All right.
Heidi calls it the bullshit game because she's always like, "Are you playing that bullshit game?" And so that, so
I know the
my opinion is the bullshit game. And Daniel Campuzano, a big Yanks in Long Island, is like, "John abandoned me on Pokemon Go." I can't. The Pokemon Go anymore because it literally will follow you anywhere, but I can do 5 minutes bullshit game. I can do
this is bullshit 2.0 because this is a pretty quick, like, I've had rounds where it's lasted like a minute because people have figured it out. It's kind of, it's a little bit of a detective puzzly type of game, but it's a lot of fun.
and I'm guessing that it's some kind of like Sudoku style process of elimination strategy thing.
Kind of. It's, but you're interacting with people, so there's a chat going on when somebody finds a body and they're like, okay, where was the body? Who was around there? And then, you know, people lie and they're like, oh, I found the body, but they're the imposter. Or I saw so and so at security and I saw them. There's these vents you could be lying, you could not be. More often than not, people are like, no, seriously, it's not me. And then you eject them out of the ship and it's like, this person was not the imposter.
Is there a penalty for ejecting the wrong people out of the spaceship?
They die and the imposter gets like one more person closer to winning the game. Yeah. It's great. It's a lot of fun. I'm telling you.
Just try it once
and then delete it at the end of the week.
Big Yanks also says that he couldn't get into Among Us. Maybe he kept playing bad matches. So
you might have
bad matches going on, but
there can be. I had someone glitch hacking some of the games where they just like would turn over a turn really quick, and that was not fun. But I try it again, Campuzano.
Maybe we start like a little bit of a Geekscape. Can you do like a Geekscape crew and we all play it together?
Yeah, I mean, I could probably like yeah. Let me start one right now.
I'll say this though. I have had some bad matches on Marvel Strike Force when I thumped the motherfuckers so bad with my first hit that they quit the match. It's starting to happen all the time. I'm just like, knock you in the head. And the person who got me in that game is Paul, our coder, who built the Geekscape website at geekscape.net. So it is all really incestuous with the game playing.
Good.
That sounds good. I will try that out.
I just need to know one thing. Did you create a Discord channel for Geekscape?
Yeah, we got a
Discord. Oh, how do I not know that? I should.
We got a Discord up in this.
I was like, if you've made one for that game and not for Geekscape, I'm going to be very impressed.
Geekscape, if we do have a Discord, we'll publicly put the link out on our Facebook pages. But go for it. Join the Geekscape Facebook page or jump on that Geekscape Forever group, Facebook group, and we'll throw out the little Discord right there, the permanent link for the Discord. I see people chatting it all the time. I know Big Yanks, Daniel Campuzano's in there. So yeah, it's pretty active. And Danny, if you want to share the link in the conversation while people are watching the show, go for it. Just drop it in the comments. Yeah, the other thing I've been doing when I was going through these hard drives is finding old stuff that I did. So my Vimeo, I don't think anybody goes to my filmmaking Vimeo page, but I did upload all the episodes of Singledom, which is a show I did for Fox in 2008, 2009. We did three episodes that were really cut downs from a 20-minute-ish pilot. Knowing a lot more about TV and TV writing now, I'm like, sure.
Some of the things.
I've done that differently. But as far as like web content stuff, I don't know. I watch pieces of Singledom and I'm like, oh, this, some of that was actually pretty good. I'm pretty happy with some of it. So I found the old episodes. I put them on my Vimeo. They're all up there. It's vimeo.com. If you go to Jonathan London, that's my Vimeo page, and you'll find it and watch Singledom. Enjoy it. It's very geeky and very fun. And I'm sad that it did not have a long life, but you know,
listen, we learn from the stuff now. Yeah. Well, we always learn. Like, we can always cringe at our old work, but that's how we learn.
Incelbot loved it though. Incelbot loved it.
Of course he did.
I would say, speaking of incels, but he's no incel. He's just an amazing human being. Our good friend Fernando Pinto has been waiting patiently to join us here on Geekscape from Chile. Hey, Fernando, how are you, buddy?
Hi, that was a great introduction. Thank you.
I was just going to say,
I feel like very special now.
Fernando, what I love about Fernando is that he created his own name to come on the Geekscape Live, and he put his like URL in there as if his boy Jonathan was not going to hook him up with his own.
Never know. Never know.
Dude. Fernando, how's it going, dude? You were on the show a little bit over the summer with our good friend
Chris. Yeah,
How did everything go with you?
You mean with the project that we're doing? We're doing Rice
Sour Cup.
Yeah, it's a very, very fancy cup. I was going to mention that. Rise of the Kung Fu Dragon Master is the comic book that Chris Mancini wrote, and I'm drawing right now. We funded it through Kickstarter, and that's going pretty well. Should be done around the end of the year. So I'm working on that aside from all the other stuff that I'm going to talk to you about today. But yeah, that's going real well.
What is some of that other stuff, bro? Because I know that you, I know you got Warped.
Yes, Warped.
You got Gun Punch.
Yes, I do.
Where can people find this stuff besides going to, Fernando Pinto
art.com. Exactly. You can start there. You get to my social media there and everything. Warped is a graphic novel I did a few years ago that someone I know wrote the introduction for and didn't remember the last time I mentioned it. Oh, right, man, Jonathan? I was like, yeah, you wrote the introduction. He's like, what? What is a warp?
I plagiarized.
Oh boy.
Yeah, but
run it through Google.
I'm not gonna ask any more questions about that. But it's a graphic novel about a girl and a robot in cargo shorts trying to make rent in their on their 2-bedroom spaceship. And it's a sci-fi action comedy that's it's very close to my heart. It's one of my favorite things I've ever done. And it's just funny. If you like funny comic books about space and aliens and all that sort of stuff, you probably enjoy it. There's alien porn stars, undead mobsters, theme parks, all sorts of fun stuff. And that's has been republished through 215 Inc. You can ask your local comic book shop to get you a copy, or just contact the publisher 215 Inc., who I know you know as well, Jonathan.
I do. Yes. I do. They're out of Philly, obviously, because that's the area code there. But I suggest all the Geekscapists, if only to like know that I wrote an intro to a comic that wasn't my own. Yeah. I think I wrote one for Miami Vice.
Oh boy.
But that was my book. When you do, go ahead and order it. Just as like proof that I wrote an intro to Fernando's book, go ahead and order the book.
Yeah, it's called Warped, The Adventures of Sandy and Angus. And I think you guys will like it. And I'm also doing a comic book called Gun Punch through my social media that I'm publishing episodes every Monday and Wednesday. And you can get to that through my website. And it's going to be, I already have a publisher for it, but I can't announce it yet. And that's going to come out next year in print form.
That's great.
Year.
What got you to decide to release it on social media?
I self-published a bunch of them to take to New York Comic Con last year. And it was just before I like shopped it around again, I didn't want to just see it in my, in my computer, just like gathering electronic dust. I'm just putting out the first chapter twice a week, like short episodes. And it's a story about a guy named Devin who in the same day loses his job and his girlfriend. So he goes to a bar, gets really drunk, meets a girl, And the next morning when he wakes up, there's this glowing alien floating in front of him that tells him he's been chosen to save the Earth. And he doesn't really want to do it, but the job pays a weekly salary and he just lost his job. So he's just going to take it, you know?
Saving the world.
Yeah.
As a nice salary.
Exactly.
Is it hourly or is it salary?
Oh, it's prorated from the amount of aliens he kills. So if he does a good job, he gets a decent paycheck. So, and
but
he's
he
not,
sucks at the beginning, right?
Exactly.
He's terrible
at it. Yeah. So it's basically like what it would actually be like to be a superhero, which would kind of suck because you get beat up a lot, especially if you don't know your powers and all this stuff. And so it's sort of that. It's kind of funny action. It's kind of my thing. And I wrote it, drew it, lettered it, and made
it
for you.
They can get the whole thing at your website.
I'm putting it up in like weekly chapters. I'm like parsing it out. It should be done by the end of the year, but you can read all the past chapters on my website. We're up to chapter 32 right now. That came out
awesome.
Today.
That's yeah. awesome. Now, was this ever a dream of yours to be a superhero for hire?
No, I don't think so. I mean, everybody wants to be a superhero when you're a kid, right?
Or an adult.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. Inselbot has some opinions about that. But
that's Katie's arch nemesis. So many. My rogues gallery is full. Sorry, Inselbot. Okay. You're gonna have to go up against
Katie. Yeah,
we're gonna go ahead.
When it comes to people wanting me dead, just take a number, you robotic little bitch.
I can't wait for that first live show because we're gonna have a big all out Duke and War.
Nice.
You gotta play Rock'em Suck'em Robots with Inselbot.
I'm so into it.
Yeah, I was bringing in all my hot takes on Zack Snyder, but after Inselbot's words, I'm just gonna keep them to myself.
Keep in mind, like back in the early days of the Geekscape website, I wrote like I remember going to see Sucker Punch and being like, "Yo, I don't see what people's fucking problem is with this guy." Like, we told him everything we liked.
Hey, you get it. Yeah.
We like girls with swords. We like mechs. We like this. We like that. He put them all in a movie that was bananas. And then we were like, "How dare you?" So much flack for that.
You call yourself a director?
That I literally wrote this piece, and I was like, "Yo, why are you mad at this dude for literally making a movie that was for you?" And then I hear through a buddy of mine in post that Zach read the article. And was like, "I'm down with this guy protecting me." So Zach, if you're watching this, I think you're
good. I think and talk to your bro Inselbot.
Yeah, I think I would say that Inselbot should interview Zach Snyder.
Oh my god, something gonna happen.
I'm sure he'd be awesome. Super down with that. Yeah, he's gonna love that.
Why are you so cool?
How do you do it?
If you want people to get those HBO Max subscriptions and you want to like get people to start watching that Justice League Zack Snyder cut, the best place to promote it isn't on HBO Max or any of those giant corporate advertising campaigns. Yeah. Right here on Geekscape. Find the geeks. Come on here. Number one fan.
Exactly.
Now proliferated throughout all of your cell phones and computers as well. So
all your data, he's gonna rig the election. All that
he's
stuff.
Got all of it. He's gonna.
Oh, is that what's happening? Okay,
you never know. These guys.
How are things in Chile, dude? Like,
I was just gonna ask the same thing.
What's up with that country? Y'all still a democracy?
I mean, kind of, I guess.
It's like, I can ask you the same thing about USA.
Yeah, we have sort of an election coming up as well to get a new constitution or not. So that should be fun.
Oh, y'all are still on that?
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to change it, but we'll see how that goes. So, I mean, the thing is, like, whatever your president does, presidents of countries like mine think is cool to do. So,
yeah, you in Brazil.
I know, right?
Hand in hand over
super
the
progressive stuff. So,
I just want to apologize for that.
Yeah. So, yeah. I'm hoping you guys get your shit together so maybe we can get our shit together. You know?
Not a chance. And knowing that, and knowing how like unstabilized Central America is becoming, and shit is just falling into dictatorships and mobsters. If he really wants to solve the immigrant crisis, in these caravans of immigrants coming up through Mexico to move into the United States. Like, lead by example, clean our shit up, and then don't get impersonated by the dictators over in like Brazil and Chile, these wannabe dictator dudes.
Yeah.
You're gonna get cleaned up, and you won't have caravans of minorities coming to your southern border if you're that racist. Like, solve your own shit.
Yeah.
Impersonators that are destabilizing their countries and leading these caravans to come up here.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. Wouldn't that be nice?
So you know.
In a nice, idealistic world.
Right. Let's talk about comics and video games.
Imagine we all just got our shit together.
Are you guys quarantining over there? Like,
I'm in Santiago, which is the capital city. We had like overall curfew. You know, I had to like get in the police department's website to get a permit to walk my dog every day. So it was that kind of curfew. Yeah. But now it's getting lifted. But I don't see like the cases going down. So I don't know what the plan is here.
Yeah.
Did y'all have like a crazy surge like we did? Because it sounds like y'all had some pretty strict measures if you're getting like
a police permit, bike
or dog.
Yeah. We did. But there was a surge around like June, July, and apparently it went down, but now they're opening everything up again, like malls and restaurants and stuff. And I don't think that's a good idea.
Because you guys are still ready, because the numbers haven't gone down, sure. So clearly you're ready.
Nobody's going to get sick now, right? So I don't know how this is going to like turn out.
Pan out, but, yeah.
You know?
Are you and yours good? Like, is everybody? No,
everyone around me has been pretty good, so I'm thankful for that. And, but you never know, right? Like, my parents are getting older, and you get worried about that stuff, you know. So, but so far, so good.
Good.
As far as good as it can go this year, you know.
Boy, howdy.
Has always been so far so bad.
You got that when right.
When good is like the exception, I just skip it together. I'm just like, no, so far so bad. We're good.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, like you get so addicted to like social media and stuff, and everything is just garbage and like hate and like why am I doing this to myself? I just keep scrolling.
Do you guys have a phrase for doom scrolling? Is that
No, we don't, but I'm gonna find one.
Yeah.
I like that term.
Yeah, no, yeah. I recently learned that one and I was like, oh, that's what I do every night at bed, going, God, why? Doom scrolling.
You know what I do?
Exactly.
Yep. I run an army of 24 soldiers in Marvel Strike Force. And Listen, if you want to join the Risen, send me an email because we're always ready for turnover. But you have to have a max character. You have to be at level 75. You got to be completely maxed out. And maybe, just maybe, you can join my squad on Marvel Strike Force.
Dude, I'm making my way through the PS4 Avengers game right now. Like, I'm good.
What do you think of it?
It's all right. I mean, it was so overhyped though. Like,
it really was.
Like, I had my, because I'm a huge fan of the Spider-Man game that came out a couple years ago. So that's like the best game ever, right? This one I was so hyped for, and I started playing it. It's like, oh, I'm just killing more robots now. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, robots. Great.
How about that Miles Morales game? How do you feel about that?
I'm excited about that. I don't have the money for a PS5, but they just announced that it's going to come out for the PS4, so that's very good.
Great. They announced that it was going to come out for the PS4, the Miles Morales game?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They're doing a lot of games that are both for the PS4 and for the PS5, which I think is the smartest move, especially for this year.
Are y'all thinking what I'm thinking? That perhaps a lot of these development teams got their development kit a little late and were developing pretty late into the cycle on the PS4 development kit or on the PS4. So they're developing games like the Call of Duty. They're developing like the Miles Morales game. They're developing it on dev kits for the PS4. And they've been able to max that out because some of these amazing developers have been working on those things for years. Mm-hmm. Then maybe late in the game, Sony was like, here's finally the dev kit for PS5 with all these amazing bells and whistles that we really hope you can learn in 2 months so you can develop and up-res the game. Do you think that's maybe why they're doing a little bit of a parallel release on the PS4? Because I'll tell you what, I'm holding out for the PS5 and my Miles Morales game. I want all the bells and whistles, even if it feels like it's the hand isn't quite filling the glove. Does that make sense?
Oh man, all right. Okay.
Now you're
Do you think that's going down?
It might be. That's a good question. Honestly, I didn't really think about it that way. That's kind of why I waited on the PS4. I was like, you know what? I'm going to wait a hot minute, because usually, especially with like new operating systems, usually it takes a little minute to get everything on board and rolling the right way.
Yeah, that's like, I mean, how many times has the PS3 just become like everything? Like the PS3, you know, and the PS4 too, you are constantly doing a system update and a system update and a system update, and then to expect developers to have that learning curve immediately within a year of the thing's release when there's that many bugs that are going to get updated out of it. I just think that these, and it's not a Sony unique problem. You know, you all remember that Breath of the Wild, which I think is actually the greatest game ever made, was released on the Wii U at the same time that it was released on the Switch. Wrong. But it was a perfect game, so don't worry about it.
It was great on the Wii U, honestly. I played it on both the Wii U and the Switch.
Take that, Intelbot. She's a real gamer. She has two Nintendo systems.
Oh, I've got more than two. What else do you play, Fernando?
Well, I'm mainly a PS4 guy. I didn't play games for like the longest time, and then the Spider-Man game came out for PS4, and I was like, I got to get back into this. And but I spend most of my time drawing and writing and or teaching or whatever, so I only have like a few hours a week to play. But I'm making my way through the Avengers game and through Ghost of Tsushima, I think.
Yes,
I really like that game too.
That's another one that might also come out on PS5. Yeah. But that's a great game.
It's really good, right? Actually, yeah.
A buddy of mine was telling me that I cannot miss that game, and I've got to play it as soon as I have a gaming window. That's the game I got to get. It was either that or Control. I got the Miles Morales game coming out soon. Should I do the Ghosts or should I do Control?
I think you should. This is just my opinion, but I think you should do Ghost of Tsushima. I think you can get either on like Game Pass or one of the PS Now's PS Plus. I think you can probably get Control for free via some pass situation.
Okay.
But definitely Ghost of Tsushima.
That's a great game.
I'm in.
And they're relaunching the Scott Pilgrim game for PS4, and I'm getting that like for the holidays. Yeah, the side scroller. You know,
I didn't know this.
Yeah. They're releasing it for Christmas, I think, or Thanksgiving or something.
Oh, it's on.
I'm definitely getting that.
Is Fernando getting choppy? Is his broadcast getting choppy on your end? Because I'm getting dropping out a little bit. I think the Chilean infrastructure there is affected. You know, it is third world. It's maybe fourth world. I think Intelbot.
I started talking about the government and Intelbot.
Intelbot came in.
Yeah.
He knew.
Okay.
Even though you gave Zack Snyder such glowing reviews.
I know, right? He's like the best director ever. And Batman v Superman was so good.
Sarah says, the world's ending, but let's create more comics. I agree wholeheartedly, yes. Which leads to Rickdo's question off of YouTube. Fernando, what weekly comics are
weekly
you
comics am I reading? I don't, I'm more of a trade guy. I don't.
That was Fernando Pinto, everybody. He was on Geekscape. Geeks on the show at the same time.
Yeah, dude, but let me.
I got fake. I'm just a fake person. We can't have three fakes up here.
No,
the imposter.
Yeah. Last few things I read Happiness Will Follow by Mike Hawthorne. Is a autobiobook, but that was published through Boom Archaea. It was so good. Mike Hawthorne is an artist. Deadpool. He's like the guy that's drawn the most Deadpool issues ever, and he did this autobiobook that it was supposed to come out through Vertigo like years ago, and something happened, didn't come out. And it's all
Vertigo got closed.
Yeah, no, but it like I don't know, something happened with it, and it just came out like a few weeks ago, and it's so good. It's so good. If you're into like, just like I mean, if you want to break from superheroes, which superheroes are awesome, don't get me wrong, but it's very well written. It's super honest, and I definitely recommend it if you can get it. It's like $20.
Can you repeat the title one more time?
Happiness Will Follow.
Okay.
By Mike Hawthorne. It's really good. And I usually go through Comixology and look at the sales and just buy a bunch of stuff. Like this week I bought Frank Miller, The Dark Knight Strikes Again, like the second one that everyone hates.
Oh, it's bonkers. Yeah. It is so bonkers.
Yeah, and I remember I read the first issue like back in 2001 when it first came out. And I hated it. I hated it because I just read like the Dark Knight. But now I got like the black and white edition because DC put out like the Batman Noir editions. And it looks a lot better without the color.
What about that Green Lantern Tyrannosaurus Rex? You're missing out on that whole effect.
Well, that's probably the better part of it. You know?
Issues as they came out, and I just remember how bonkers that book is. That being said, the third one, I don't even know what it's called. That one's called The Dark Knight Strikes Back.
Yeah, and the third one is the Master Race, the one that Andy Kubert wrote and Brian Azzarello co-wrote, and Andy Kubert drew.
I got to tell you, I actually enjoyed the third Dark Knight book. It had some bonkers moments, but I think it was a good way to bring it home. And you know, I was reading I'm going to lose even more geek cred on this one. Gary Conway. Gary Conway, I was reading on Twitter, had a pretty spot on criticism of the comic book industry and how it's just become straight up superheroes. And I'm definitely a guilty party of that. I went to the store today and the majority of what I bought was superhero books. And I'm guilty of also like supporting Marvel when they do these crossovers. I actually thought that the last crossover Empire was actually pretty good. I enjoyed like the Marvel universe fighting a bunch of plant monsters. I was into it.
I tried getting into House of X, and it's the Hickman book. It was beautiful. Like Pepe LaRosa is an amazing artist, but when you have a comic book and I have to read like the stuff in the back, like I'm reading Lord of the Rings to understand what's going on in the book.
Yeah. Got the Cimmerillion on the back.
I just tune out. I'm sorry. And I was talking with a friend about this today. I spent so much time and money trying to understand the Clone Saga back in the 90s I just been hurt. Like I can't. It's like like flashbacks from the war.
Was so convoluted and insane.
It makes no sense.
I think the 90s is pretty well regarded as the worst decade.
Wait, no. I will not sit here, sir, and let you.
Tell me about all those amazing like Youngblood comics you still read.
Dude.
I tried reading one of
Stray Bullets. Stray Bullets, Body Bag.
It's an indie book. 95,
dude. It's still the 90s.
Mainstream comics. Oh, okay, I'll give you some. Joe Madureira's run on X-Men was awesome. So was Chris Bachalo's on Generation X.
You like that whole Age of X thing.
I'm like Zero Tolerance, Onslaught. I read all that shit. It wasn't good, but it was pretty.
The Onslaught book was bananas. The Heroes Born stuff was, like the 90s was dark, dude. That was a bad time for comics.
Everyone had a leather jacket, was looking awesome.
How you like that stuff, because it was definitely art first, story second.
Totally. I totally get that. But like I still like Savage Dragon. I still think the first 50 issues of Savage Dragon, the Eric Larson book.
Yeah, for him. I know what it is. Do you still read it?
I check it out every once in a while, but I did a story for it for issue 250 that came out last month.
So I'm going to notch this up as bias, Fernando.
Maybe.
Wow.
But the Max was really good. Did you ever read the Max?
I have every damn issue of the
Max. Yeah, there you go. That's 90s.
Yeah, right? Sadly, I also have every issue of Wet Works and Pit.
Well, Pit, only like three of them came out in the 90s, and then like... And Wetworks took like 3 years to come out.
Do you miss the foil covers? Do you miss the hologram covers? Do you miss all this stuff in the 90s?
I have really so many of them that I don't miss them. You know?
What I'm saying is, so Jerry Conway, he got on Twitter. This is a guy who created The Punisher.
Yeah.
He got on Twitter and he had this, if you guys can go and find it, I think it's worthwhile, because he said that in the 60s and 70s, DC in New York would have like a weekly open house where kids could just come and tour the DC offices. And what really illustrates where the shift happened was that in the 60s, when he was a kid, he would go to the DC offices every week and be part of this open house. And the editor at the time was, you know, leaving his door open, and Jerry and a group that involved like Marv Wolfman and a bunch of other creators that then went on to create comics in the 70s and 80s went up to the editor, and they're talking, and he and Jerry was like, oh, I have this idea, you know, I think that this should have happened in this one comic. And the DC editor in chief looked at him and goes, how old are you? And he says, I'm 13. He goes, you're too old for my readership. He goes, I don't need to worry about what you think. I just have to worry about kids who are like between 6 and 10. And the problem is that, you know, and he admitted it, people like Jerry Conway and Marv Wolfman left being kids, and they then became teenagers and in their 20s, and they started writing comics, but they were no longer writing for that group of kids who were 6 to 10. They were writing for themselves.
Right.
And so comics, superhero comics, mainstream comics, totally aged away from them. And not only that, when you start getting into the direct market and like the growth of comic book stores and mall culture going into the 70s and the 80s, you start getting things going away from the supermarkets and the spinner racks to distract kids while mom does the shopping.
Yeah.
And you have these stores that'll put like posters in the windows to hide the products and keep a little exclusive club. Katie, you were not allowed in that until like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Because no and girls allowed. Some places you're still not allowed.
Yeah.
The comic industry is just destroying itself.
Of course.
And it has been since the 70s.
It's low self-esteem.
Part of it, yeah. The creator is being in control. And part of it is the fact that my 41-year-old ass is still being like, yo, I thought Empire was dope. Bring me some X of Swords, whatever the hell the next big crossover is, Marvel. Can't wait to eat this up.
Well, to go back to the original question, I just opened, while you were talking shit about the 90s, I tuned out and I opened my Comixology app. And I am reading a couple of monthly books. I'm reading Firepower by Kirkman.
Yep.
That's really, really good. And Chris Somney can draw like crazy.
He's amazing.
And I was reading Outer Darkness, which was John Layman, I think, and
yes, Apu John Chen.
Layman. Yeah, and it just got canceled. So I was like, awesome.
Outer Darkness got canceled.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, it was only 12 issues on the crossover.
I've been talking about Outer Darkness. I've talked about it on the show. I've talked to John Layman on Facebook about coming on the show and talking to us. He created Chew, which was super successful. I believe it was successful.
Yeah.
But Outer Darkness was the book. Imagine if you have a sci-fi, like Star Trek series, but instead of the ships being powered by science, they're powered by like God energy and like spirituality. So like if somebody dies, you can still go get their soul and bring them back. You can capture souls and you can use them to like power your ships, power your weapons. You can do enchantments to like ward off enemies. Instead of having like shields or cloaking technology, you have like warding spells and things. Oh my God. Outer Darkness was so fucking weird and
cool. Awesome.
And amazing. I can't
just
believe
got canceled. Yeah.
Shit. That was a great book.
Yeah. You know what superhero book is good? Or was it was a miniseries. It was Hawkeye Freefall from Marvel. That book was really good. I really like that one. Yeah.
What did y'all think of the WandaVision trailer that came up on over the weekend?
It looks intriguing. Like I'm definitely gonna watch it.
It does feel like it's like walking a thin line of like this could be really awesome or this could be weird.
Oh, totally. And I'm there either way. Like
No, I'm totally gonna watch it. Absolutely. Yeah. But yeah, no, I watched it and I was like, wait, what is happening here?
And we're getting it later this year. Like that is one that Winter Soldier and
Falcon.
That got pushed to 2021. In Marvel, you saw it was just like Disney was like, F it. Let's push everything to 2021. So like now you've got Eternals and Black Widow literally basically taking their release dates and just moving them a year. And you've got Shang-Chi moving to like June, July. So if we hold tight, let's vote and get a brand new leadership in place here in the US. And we're out of the pandemic sometime in 2021.
Will also affect Chile and hopefully their leadership as well.
Please, guys, think of us.
And then maybe we can go see these things in the theater in May. We'll see some Black Widow. June, July, we'll see some Shang-Chi. And then in November of 2021, we'll get Eternals. And as Daniel Campuzano just said, it's the only Marvel for the next 10 months. Which is, yeah. I mean, WandaVision is the only Marvel we're going to get for the next 10 months.
As you know, I didn't think about that. Yeah. Wow.
This was the first year since 2009 that Marvel has not released a cinematic film.
Ugh. That's yeah. so weird.
Disney Plus only right now. But WandaVision looks bonkers. It looks like the Tom King miniseries mixed with some House of M weirdness, mixed with some real weird reality warping stuff. And what I heard is some of the cast is shared with the Doctor Strange 2 movie that Sam Raimi is doing in London right now. So this is all going to be super connected.
Are they actually like filming again or for Doctor Strange right now?
No wonder they're using the same cast so they can bubble together, probably.
Well, I think WandaVision was shot in Atlanta, and there was cast that they recast some of the actors in WandaVision because here's what happens is you know this as an actress, Katie. You have like your first position when you're on a project, and like some of the cast, like their son was first, you know, he'd shot 8 episodes of WandaVision before the delay happened, before the COVID hit. But his first position show wasn't WandaVision. It was Lock and Key.
Okay.
So, oh, of course.
It's a great comic.
So there was a bit of a delay. Lock and Key came back. WandaVision was ready to come back, but Lock and Key had first position. They had 2 more episodes of WandaVision recast. They had to recast this kid who then went on to do Lock and Key. And not only did they recast him, I hear they're doing facial replacement for the first 8 episodes so that it'll look like the same kid through all 10.
Oh my gosh, it's going to be so expensive.
Wow.
And then the kid is, you know, I don't know, the kid or some of the cast members are then contractually obligated just to go and play a little Doctor Strange too. So.
Wow. Oh, I didn't realize that. That's fascinating. And I'm going to say something that's probably controversial, but maybe it'll give DC a little leg up on keeping up with the MCU at the moment, because I don't know.
Well, I don't think they have a problem with that, because you saw the announcement today that right after the Suicide Squad movie comes out, John Cena's got his own show coming out, spinning off of Suicide Squad. Maybe a prequel.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because like, does that mean that he's not going to die in Suicide Squad, or are we going to see him before?
Right.
Is it a prequel or is it a sequel? Yeah. I don't know.
But that's an HBO Max series that's coming out.
And they're doing the Batman series as well, right? They're doing a procedural, like Gotham Central. Like that's in the
I didn't know that.
Yeah, the universe of the Batman, you know. So
Sarah's back and she says, "Not Marvel Disney. It's all Marvel Disney now, Sarah."
But it actually
was a thing. I guess. Not only was New Mutants a thing, I went to the drive-in to see New Mutants.
Oh, you saw it?
And
he loved it.
Thank you for listening to Geekscape.
I know, right?
Fernando.
I'm an asshole.
That was Geekscape. That was Fernando, everybody. No, dude, I really liked it. Not only did I see New Mutants, I really liked it.
Really? Because it's not playing anywhere down here. So like I saw all the reviews and they were like, I mean, it's a movie, you know, so I don't know.
Yeah, it wasn't great, but it was good. And when you have everybody lambast the movie and maybe your standards are a little lower going into it, I liked going to the I thought it was, and I said this before the movie came out, I said this like a month in advance. I said, this is the perfect drive-in movie because
you don't have to pay attention.
It's okay to just hang out and watch the movie. You don't have to pay too much attention to it. But I liked it.
And I even asked him if it was because maybe his quarantine levels of like appreciation had lowered.
Well, I would imagine, right?
And he said no. He said no. So I don't know.
But like, I want a trilogy. I want a New Mutants trilogy. And when they release that trilogy, I want the S on New Mutants, so the third one to be a 3.
Oh boy,
that's what I want. That's right, Marvel. Wow. Hire me. Zack Snyder on my show. Next week we got Zack Snyder on the show.
You know, Zack Snyder, that big Marvel guy.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it couldn't be worse than the Phoenix movie that came out last year, right?
It was not worse than the Phoenix movie. It was not worse than X-Men Apocalypse. I think New Mutants was a movie that spent a lot of time in post and they figured it out. And is it a great movie? No. Is it a good
it's
movie?
Fun, right.
Yes. Is it a pretty faithful New Mutants movie?
Absolutely.
That is the one part that you said that I was like, oh, now I'm a little bit interested. Because, I mean, all of the X-Men movies, I was just like, I could care less at this point. I love the cartoon, but like the movies, I was just like always so disappointed and stuff.
I think we should do this. I think we're going to do this right now. We're going to rank them. All right?
We're going to rank the X-Men movies.
There weren't that many, all right? Relax.
But I mean, no, but you have like Deadpool, you have like Logan, you have...
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah.
I think Deadpool 1.
Yes.
And
yes.
X2. X-Men United are the two best X-Men. X2 was good, bro.
I'm not going to... I would put Logan above that, personally.
Yeah.
If Logan had a different third act...
Like, why?
Interesting.
If Logan wasn't
all the Latino kids, like having powers, you know.
If Logan wasn't suddenly like, oh yeah, we've been hiding Xavier for these decades and living like by ourselves. Let's go to the farm and endanger these people's lives and ultimately get them killed. Yeah, I would see what you're saying, but like, there's a point in that movie where they just stop trying to be heroes and they just go to grandma's house for country home cooking, get everybody killed, and I'm like, that was on you, dum-dums, McGee. Your character stopped being the character that you've been for the first two-thirds of this movie, and then we're just like, don't mind if I eat some biscuits, like... None of the circumstances changed. You were still being chased by the Marauders. Nothing was different. And then suddenly they were like, I don't mind a little home-cooked meal.
I feel like there's a scab just like being picked right now.
Just dig it out. Dig it out.
The chip on the shoulder gets bigger.
I just remember watching the movie and being like, this is phenomenal. And then two-thirds of the way, everything from the farm on, I was like,
why did Xavier agree
to do this? Why would they do? What changed in their what? Why did they do this?
But we've also talked about this. That's kind of the trope of an X-Men movie, is that they kind of really go off the rails at some point or another.
And Logan is one of the better ones.
But wait, so you think that X2 is better than First Class?
Yes.
I'm gonna have to leave now.
First Class is my second or third favorite. Of those ones, because I like the first X-Men movie.
If you say Apocalypse, I'm just going to be mad.
Fernando, you can tell him he's wrong, please.
I've been wrong my whole life. What are you going to change?
It's all right.
So listen, I like. Okay, first off, okay, let's rank them from the bottom.
Out of the bottom,
Dark Phoenix is the worst.
I would say the Apocalypse is worse than Dark Phoenix for me.
Okay. My friend, por qué?
Because I think it's not a good movie, but it makes more sense to me. Like, it feels like a lame X-Men movie. Like, Apocalypse, just like, you have Apocalypse, which is like the biggest X-Men villain, right? Or one of the biggest, like top three, And he's just a dude that looks like a Power Ranger, and like, he just collects random mutants, you know?
Dude, that's how I felt about Malekith in Thor the Dark World. I was like, you're really gonna do it like this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But so, like, and he has, like, he can wave sand and kill people. And then he doesn't. For some reason, some of the plot can go on at the end.
Yeah,
he's surrounded by sand, and he doesn't kill the X-Men. Sorry.
No, I'm with you. Apocalypse was pretty bad. Dark Phoenix was really bad. I mean, okay,
bad.
Those are really close. That's like being like, okay, is there corn in my crap? Or are those candy corns? Like, either way.
You want to get cancer?
That is some crap you do not want to reheat and re-eat.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
It doesn't matter what kind of corn is in that chunk. You ain't putting it back down the chute.
I'm not saying it's a good movie. I'm just saying it's better than Apocalypse for me.
Where do you put X3 Last Stand, or as I call it, X3 Can't Stand?
that's toward the bottom. I don't know, it's hard between Apocalypse and that one. Like, those to me are the worst ones. Mm-hmm. And then, like, right a little bit on top of that, I would put Dark Phoenix. I could watch that again.
Where do you put Days of Future Past?
I actually like that one. That was good. Yeah, but it wasn't as good as First Class.
Okay.
And it wasn't as good as Logan. I would put it on the level, like, right above the Wolverine.
Ooh, interesting.
The other James Mangold
movie. Yeah, yeah. The Wolverine was mediocre, Wolverine was okay. But it was watchable, right?
Mediocre, but watchable. Yeah, yeah. There was stuff in the Wolverine that I liked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where do you put, because you've opened this door, the first Wolverine movie?
Oh, crap.
X-Men Origins.
That one sucks,
too. Did you forget about that? Where do you put X-Men Origins?
Oh, shit.
Answer me.
Oh, that has to be worse than Apocalypse. Yeah.
Okay. Wait. So is that
like, the bottom? I don't know. There's so many questions right now.
Intel Bot disagrees with them. He started.
Yeah.
Intel Bot is like, it's the best.
I think no. I'm gonna put it above Apocalypse and Dark Phoenix because I laughed more at that movie because it was so bad. And Deadpool, they got Deadpool so wrong. Like Deadpool's one of my favorite characters.
In the
Wolverine movie, it's like he's the mark with the mouth, and they cover up the mouth, and so you have to laugh at it. Favorite
characters, because '90s comics for the win.
Yes, '90s comics.
Okay, so let's. You think
so,
X-Men? You think X-Men Origins Wolverine is the worst X-Men movie?
You're putting me in the top spot. Yes, it's the worst movie. Yes, I will say that.
Then you go Apocalypse.
Yes. No, wait. Then X3.
X3.
Then Apocalypse.
Apocalypse. Then like Dark Phoenix.
10 pounds of crap.
Then Dark Phoenix. I think Dark Phoenix is still under some of that crap.
Yeah, like so, five feet of crap. Okay.
Once you get over that crap, do you then have Days of Future Past, which is a pretty good movie, or the original X-Men film?
Original X-Men film.
Put the original X-Men movie, which I enjoy.
I enjoyed it back in 2000.
Don't you?
Yeah.
And then
I'm sorry. I get excited.
So somewhere in there you get the original X-Men movie, 2000 X-Men, and then from that one you get Days of Future Past, which got a little weird.
Yeah. Then Logan.
And then Days of Future, or then First Class or Logan. Where are we?
I would put First Class below Logan. I think Logan's better.
Yeah. Logan. Okay. X2.
X2, I would put below Logan, but on top of Future Past, Days of Future Past.
Okay. Deadpool 2.
Deadpool 2, I would put around the same level as Days of Future Past. Yeah. Because I love the first one, and the second one was kind of weaker, in my opinion.
We're cooking with gas. We're getting somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then you got the Logan.
Yes.
Above the Deadpool 2 and Days of Future Past, you got the Logan.
And then First Class and then Deadpool.
And then New Mutants. Got it. Yes.
I haven't seen it. I can't comment. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I'm going to have to listen to that episode.
Wait. Jonathan, do you think New Mutants is better than Deadpool 1?
No, I'm being silly. I'm just trying to get a reaction out of you, dude. No, New Mutants definitely second, third, fourth, fifth, somewhere in there. No.
Deadpool 2 or New Mutants?
No, Deadpool 2. Like, I'm going to put New Mutants solidly in the middle of the pack on the X-Men movies.
Okay.
Which all were part of franchises, which leads to me saying, and not only that, I don't want to put spoilers on New Mutants. Are there references to the X-Men? Yes. Was this a movie that was made alongside the X-Men movies at Fox and it was supposed to be released sometime around the release schedule for X-Men Apocalypse? Yes, that movie was supposed to come out around X-Men Apocalypse. They were supposed to be in the same universe. Are there references to the X-Men in New Mutants? Yes. That being said, was it separate enough that it still could exist in the MCU like Deadpool's going to exist in the MCU? Yes, New Mutants can still exist in the MCU.
But just saying it. If the concept of a multiverse is like around now because of Spider-Verse.
Don't cheat. Get that cheating over to DC, all right?
Oh. Great movie. Oh, that was one of my all-time favorite Spider-Man movies.
Oh, yeah. That's the best Spider-Man movie ever to me.
Okay, let's do that. Spider-Man movie.
Okay.
Number one.
Okay.
Number one as in good or number one as in grim?
Spider-Man 2. Or I'm kidding. Is the best one? No, we're not going to do it. But that being said, I think for me, you got Spider-Verse and Sam Raimi's second Spider-Man movie right up there at number one.
I would agree with that.
Interesting.
Don't play.
But I haven't watched the Sam Raimi Spider-Man 2 in a while. So I'm going to go with few years ago opinion. So yeah.
Watch it. I'll take that Pepsi challenge. Watch it right now. It holds up. That Doc Ock stuff is amazing. It's just an amazing movie.
Alfred Molina is a great actor.
Alfred Molina is a great actor. Yeah. I would not say that movie is not great, actually.
Uh-huh. I'm going to talk
about the Sam Raimi movies. I mean, I loved them when I was younger. I appreciated them. I was like, oh, yeah, superhero movies. I was so down for the revolution. But I don't know. The Homecoming and Far From Home, best Spider-Mans, I believe. In terms of live action.
She was, you know what? Next week, we'll be joined by my co-host, Incelbot.
For a rebuttal.
I liked him, man. I liked him.
Don't worry, Katie. I will not be bringing that terrorist.
I will say, though, about the Sam Raimi movies, they're great. And the first one, like, blew me away when I saw it in the theater.
It's amazing.
Yeah. But Tobey Maguire looks 37.
Yeah.
He always did.
As a high schooler.
Yeah. And that's kind of weird.
It happens. Oh, man. Someone's about to murder you, by the
way.
So, Geekscapists, if you're watching this, if you're listening to this, Heidi just walked into the room. all right. Fernando, let's wrap this up.
Okay.
My good friend, I want all the Geekscapists to go to fernandopintoart.com. I want them to check out all of your books. I want them to go to their comic book store and say, hey, there's this book called Warped. 215 Inc. is putting it out. Here's the diamond code. I want you to pre-order it for me right now. I want you to order this book, and I want to have it in my grubby bits in a month. I want them to do that. Go to your comic book store and ask for it.
Did you say grubby bits or grubby bits?
A little bit of both.
I'm not going to judge. Yeah. If they get the book, I'm good.
Put the book wherever you want.
I also want you to go to fernandopintoart.com and start reading this Gun Punch comic that he is nice enough to put out for free for all of you.
Yes,
savages.
For you.
And that's what I want you all to do.
But also follow him on social media at Mi nombre es Fernando Pinto.
Very nice.
On Instagram.
Very good. Very good.
Only because I was trying to tag you and I was trying to find it. And I was like, oh, it's mi nombre.
You can follow Katie at Yo Soy Una Gringa. And
Blanco.
I'm kidding. I love having Katie's Wicca. It's amazing because the alternative is Incelbot. All right, let's wrap up some comments. Fernando, Jonathan wrote my intro. Pinto is what you're known as.
Very
now.
Good. Yeah. There you go.
Sarah says, you guys need a tier list on Tier Maker for this. Oh, not a bad idea. I'm not familiar with Tier Maker. I know that it's on there. But maybe we make a little tier and we kind of figure out like what the X-Men movies are.
And then we can all stop being friends.
And Daniel Camposano, he's going back to that Spider-Man conversation and he dropped in. The Venom movie was the best.
I just rewatched that.
Why?
It's fun. It's all right.
How?
Like
how
none of the characters have depth at all. But Tom Hardy's just like chewing scenery all over the place. And the effects are good.
I will give you that. Tom Hardy did chew the hell out of that movie, and he is amazing. So, okay. I will give you that. And Fernando just says, Daniel says, Fernando has the best stickers 1 year later on my cell phone. He's still got his Akira sticker.
Yes.
Still fresh looking.
He got it at New York Comic Con last year or 2 years ago? 1 year later.
And Danny, that sticker would not be fresh looking if you were able to play One of Us online, or whatever it's called. What was the name of the game, Katie?
Among Us.
What?
Among Us.
Oh, One of Us. Like, where are you going?
Like One of Us Freaks movie.
One of Us.
All right, Geekscapists. That's the show. FernandoPintoR.com.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. Love you. It was awesome.
Thank you for being here. It's so great.
Yes.
And you've created the face of our brand.
I know, right? Yeah. And the previous face for the previous brand. And I drew a comic that you wrote.
You drew a comic that I wrote, and I think one day you will again.
Yes, and I did art for that show that you were talking about, Singledom.
You did. Yeah, Fernando did artwork, and I found the artwork today, and I was like, oh, man, I would have liked to do that show some more because all my friends were involved in it. So
that's fun.
Now Katie would be involved in it, and InSoulBot would be in it too.
Oh my gosh,
she'd be the DP.
All right, Geekscapists, you know what to do on our end. You're going to go to iTunes, you're going to go to Spotify, you're going to leave us a nice review, but you're also going to tell your friends about Geekscape. Hit the little share button on whatever device you're listening to this to, listening to this on, and say, hey, Geekscape, it's awesome, it's fun, I like them. And what do you think of the ranking on Spider-Man and X-Men and all those movies? Go ahead and, you know, hit us up. Let us know what your rankings are. I would love to hear your rankings. Maybe next week when we do the show, Katie and I will go through your rankings and see what we think of your X-Men movie, Marvel movie, DC movie, whatever rankings you want to throw at us. We'll take a look
Star
at
Wars. Star Wars is that never
rank.
That's a Star good Wars movie. Yeah. That's a good
I know one. InCellBot is like, yo, that sequel trilogy doesn't exist to me. So rank those.
The last one doesn't.
let's rank it up. Let's rank it up.
That'd be good.
And you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of that. Become our friends.
And if you go on iTunes, leave a message on releasing the Snyder Cut of Singledom.
There's no
there you
Snyder
go.
Cut.
It's so dark, you guys. It's so dark. So dark. Maybe. But it's serious. You just don't get it.
Love you guys. This is Geekscape.
Thank you so much.
Geekscape forever. Over and out. Peace, everybody.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.